So welcome to this Core Teachings self-inquiry session. And I'm here today with Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Helen.
Thanks for volunteering your time to do this. It's self-inquiry is always something for me that's new and fresh and different. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here.
Me too. Yeah.
Do you want to just sort of bring us up to speed on what we were talking about before we hit record? Because we were kind of talking about the situation that happens for you when you're in meditation and then sort of in daily life.
Right. So yeah, I was just really feeling the experience of meditation where I'm deep in spacelessness, one with being, my body drops off, like nothing really exists but pure space. It's like a beautiful place to be. And then, I lose that when I'm out of that. So I recognize that as me being formless and being the one in all things or what have you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I lose that. And then it's like, well, like the struggle is how do I function in the world and still maintain that truth? Mm-hmm. Like I become separate again and, I dip in, but it's still an effort to, like I'm doing it. Like versus it's kind of just there.
Yeah. It's really, really common. And I think I said to you before we started recording, it's something that I struggled with for a long time because I could be, in the emptiness, being the emptiness, the formlessness for as long as I was sitting. And then the moment I had to get up or engage with somebody or do something, it was as soon as the body starts moving, that sense of emptiness, excuse me, seems to be obscured then. And then the awareness of the body comes back. And I don't know if you've had that too, but for me, it was quite scary actually at first to lose a sense of my body. I got used to it and realized that's okay. It's still going to be there when I've finished my meditation. But for a lot of beings, it's also quite scary at first. Like there's just nothing there, nothing in that emptiness.
Been so long since I've been experiencing that it's hard to remember back to the beginning because it's almost like this, like I can feel my form, like it gets tingly and it's almost like I turn inside out. Real desired, the relief, like if you're taking off a heavy equipment you've been carrying around or something. And So I can't remember the fear of it because I'm just so deep in the, like, this is just when I'm truly
being. Okay. So let's start then with, there seems to be two there, doesn't there? There seems to be two, meaning I can have this experience of the formlessness that I am. And then later, however long that takes, there seems to be some other state that I'm experiencing, which is the normal level of consciousness that a human being has, where they're aware of the body and everything. And ideally, what we're aiming towards is where they can both be present together. And I can be aware of my formlessness and the body is just still functioning and doing everything it needs to do and all of that. And if we're looking at that now, we could start with sort of investigating if they are actually two. Mm-hmm. Because if they are actually two, then our attention is going to go to one or the other. So I'm deep in meditation and I am noticing the silence, the emptiness, and I'm just resting in and out of that and everything's wonderful. There's nothing else there. And then there'll be something other come up that my attention goes to, awareness of the body again and all of that.
Yeah.
So what happens when we ask this question then? Are they really two? Because this is the experience we're having, isn't it? That one or the other, one, and then back and forth, however long that time is between the back and forth is different, but that's basically what's occurring, isn't it? Would you say?
Yeah.
So there seems to be two, but is there really? Because if you can prove that they are the same thing, mm-hmm. then they're going to be experienced at this, they can be experienced at the same time. Even those words same time are implying two-ness, but I don't have any better language at this point. Somebody will have to invent some kind of language that works, but you get the idea. Yeah. So let's sit with this question for a few minutes. Are there really two states, or whatever you want to call it, for want of a better, two ways to experience myself, and see what happens with that? And I'm interested to see where this goes, because it's a common thing that a lot of people struggle with. So when, like right now, you know that your body's here, you can feel it sitting in the chair, you can feel the air touching your skin, you can hear what's coming in through your ears, all of that, right? So right now, are you actually, it's going to sound like a really bonkers question, but are you actually aware of your body itself, or the contact it's making with something else? So let me phrase that. If there was no chair or air touching your face, would you be aware of your body? It's a strange thing to ask, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great ask, though.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a great ask because it instantly takes me to almost that place of that spaciousness. I can't speak, but you know, spacelessness. Yeah. There we go.
Easier to experience than say.
Yeah. Well, I kind of lost in it, so I think my language. So
if we get closer to what the issue is, if we're thinking that we're losing awareness of our body during meditation, then that will seem like we can't function from that place all the time. Because how will I know what to do with my body if I can't even sense it?
Right.
How do I drive like that? How do I cook, you know, and all of that stuff?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a really crazy question again then. Are you aware of your body now? Because if we take away the chair and the air and all the stuff that's making contact, the clothes, the feeling of the clothes on your skin, if you had an itch on your arm, would you be aware of your arm or the itch instead? If you sat on your foot too long and you lost the feeling in it, you know, are you actually sensing your body right now even?
No, not when you put it that way.
it's a weird conclusion to come to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's a huge idea that we carry the whole way through our life, that I'm aware of my body, but really we only know when it's hungry, or when there's something wrong with it, or when it's tired, when it's too hot, when it's cold.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the time, we're completely unaware of it. Like if we get engaged in a really good conversation or watching a really funny movie, we've both lost any awareness of what the body's doing. We're totally fixated on whatever we're engaged in.
So it's only by bringing my attention to my body, which I think is my body, but really it's the
It's a bunch of sensations.
Yeah.
And without those sensations there, when we're not aware of the sensations, so in deep meditation, when I'm not aware of the contact my legs are making with the chair, I feel like I've lost awareness of my body.
Right.
Based on the assumption I had it to start off with.
Exactly, yeah.
So we experience the back and forth of these two ways.
Right, yeah.
So if we can take this a little further and see. So right now, if I can be honest and say I'm not really aware of my body, I can feel how my clothes are touching my skin and how my clothes are touching the chair I'm sitting in. I can feel the wood touching against my skin.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I was to touch my skin, I can feel that. But my without anything to make contact with it, there isn't really any stimuli or feedback coming in.
Right. Yeah.
So it's only when sense of otherness, something other than my body, encounters my body, so that I actually have some sense of it. So what I'm really sensing, and stop me if I'm going too quick here, what I'm really sensing is not my body, but some sense of otherness.
Yes.
When that otherness has gone in the emptiness of being, we feel like we've lost awareness of the body. But can you maybe, if you could imagine now with me, it's probably not something you want to think about completely, but if you weren't wearing any clothes at all and you were just floating around in zero gravity,
yeah,
and you weren't hungry or anything like that, would you have any awareness of your body at all?
No, except for I visualize the awareness, like in my mind's eye kind of thing, but in terms of the experience of it.
So when a thought goes through your head, you'd be aware of that thought. But not really until you're only aware of something when it's changed, when it's moved like that.
Yeah.
So if you can come to really question this idea that something has changed in deep meditation, that you've lost awareness of the body, then these two kind of experiences, for want of a better word, can begin to merge together. Because if I can really prove to myself that I haven't actually lost anything, I'm just kind of I'm experiencing this assumption that I'm aware of my body. And I know it sounds crazy, because if you ask any single person on the planet, they'll tell you, yeah, I know my body's here. But if we actually look at what we're experiencing there, it's not really just the body, is it? Something else in that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of some stuff that I've heard you speaking in terms of the absence in space kind of thing of objects and kind of the spacelessness around the object. I never really put myself in that place, though. Like, I always think of, like, okay, the lamp, and if, you know, the space wasn't around that lamp, would that lamp kind of exist? It's existing with the boundary of that space or whatever my mind's creating. But I never kind of put myself into that, like my physical body.
Yeah. It's a different way to look at it, because we have the very strong assumption that goes unchallenged for a long time, that there is a body and formlessness. That's the basic assumption, isn't it? Which ultimately, and what we've just done was to try to break down a little bit of that assumption, and we can go even further and say, well, is this actually a body? And does it really have to lose functionality because I'm not calling it a particular label, or because there's no sensory input being paid attention to? Because, you know, at nighttime in deep sleep, you're quite happy to let go of awareness of the body, even in the dream state. You're just sort of playing with the images in your mind, but you're not bothered about sense perception.
Right.
We're all quite happy to let go of that for however long we can manage to do that for each night. So have we really picked anything back up again in the waking state? You know?
Perception.
It's like, just... Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just concurring that it's more of just picking up the labels and the perception of kind of how you're moving about. Kind of giving it a structure to make sense of it.
Yeah. And if you want to go deeper with this, great. You know, I'm having great fun here. Let's go for it.
I've been sitting on this for quite a while, just trying to sort it out. So
let's say there's a body here, just for sake of argument. And it's sitting in this formlessness that's all around everywhere. So can you really tell me where the formlessness stops and your body starts? Is there really, again, another really weird way to look at it? It's easy to imagine that formlessness stops right here, and is absent where my finger is. But, you know, and the whole body, so to speak. But is that really so? Does formlessness stop? Does it have an edge? Can it kind of stop right up against my finger and then it isn't there? Can that actually be experienced? Can you put an edge on formlessness?
No, but is it weird that I think I can put an edge on form?
That's the whole idea of form, isn't it? That's the whole idea of form, is that it has an edge, a shape, and, you know, that's the common way of seeing it in a way, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
So explain that to me a little bit.
Well, I see the, like, almost in waves, I guess, like trying to make sense of it in terms of the formless, like it just is all everything, like all around, and it doesn't hit that boundary of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just see it as that kind of just, you know, you talk about the wave or whatever, it just kind of becomes that, and it's accepted as that when I sit in a calm place as you're talking and seeing that. But then when I go, okay, but I can then switch almost and see form. Like, and say, oh, but I can see this form existing separate from that wave.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mind little explosion going
on. And can you prove that to yourself? Can you prove that there is a point where the formlessness stops and the form starts? Or even if we can't prove that, can we prove that this hand is existing in the same space as the formlessness, that there's two things, form and formlessness, actually here at the same time? Because that's the core of the illusion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, when we come right down to it, can there be, if the formlessness is everywhere, it must be right where this hand is. And that means there's either two things present, form and formlessness, or there isn't a hand, actually. I know it's like very trippy, but let's see where we can go with this. So can you, you're doing amazing here, can you prove or disprove either one of those? So we looked at the formlessness doesn't stop, it doesn't have an edge, the form seems to. So if the formlessness doesn't stop, it seems like there's two things present, right? This hand, this form, and the formlessness.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend a whole hour waving my hands around.
That's my hand talker, but I'm low down, so you can't see.
If I lost my hands, I'd be in trouble. Yeah. But yeah. So can you prove that there's two things present? When you, and this is something that mind says is absolutely crazy, but let's just go with it anyway and play with it and see what happens, because it's right at the crux of this illusion, isn't it? If there's a body here, I'm going to lose and gain awareness of it, you know, over and over and over. And then I'll have to experience this either onus, you know, in deep meditation and then back to the body consciousness when I'm out of my meditation and in and out and in and out. And you know that one, you've been living it. So. Is there really a body here? What is it that we're calling a body? So what's this here? We're calling it a hand, which is a part of a body, isn't it? But what happens when you ask this question for yourself? You can, you know, do it with your own hand or whatever, but you know, we could say, well, it's not really a hand, it's skin and bone and fingernails and all of that, right? And then we can, you know, whatever definition we come up with of what this is, we can carry on investigating. So let's go with this. What is, I know it's a crazy question, what is my hand actually? You know, what happens when you ask that question inside of yourself?
I start breaking it down, because just as you kind of were, like to the parts of the hand and like kind of even to the, like, what is the skin? And like, even thinking, how did the hand develop and how does it stay nourished and like so I can take
blood and bones and tissue.
Yeah, so I can really get on a long path of that, but then
yeah, and let's follow that.
Actually, you know,
and then eventually molecules and atoms, and if we keep going with that, and then atoms, you know, will become if we keep looking closer, subatomic particles, empty space, and you know, formlessness, and all of that. So the label hand or body tends to make it seem like something it isn't in a way. And we, you know, so we can begin to break down the idea that there's two things present, the formlessness and the form. But if we really look, if we took any particular point in space, so this point here between my fingers, can there actually be two things present in the same space? Could there be two things? If I gave you a tiny, tiny little box that only fit one atom in it, if we could do that somehow. And again, it's, you know, you just have to kind of go with it in the imagination for now. Could you put two things at the same time in that box?
Like I feel existing as one now.
Just can we explain that a little bit?
Well, it's kind of like again, maybe my brain's engaging too much, but like that concept of phantom limbs,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, like that it's we only see it existing there because we've conditioned to see it existing there. And then sometimes when people lose their limb, it still exists. Like the experience can still exist, but just not in the way we've constructed it to exist.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what my mind's doing, is deconstructing the existence of my hand to say, well, it only exists that way because I've conditioned myself to believe that this is how it exists. But just like as you were saying before, that whole like, how do I know my body's here?
Yeah.
Because things are creating a sensation or reaction. So I'm like feeling or whatever, experiencing it as the possibility and the potential that it is just one, in a just a totally different way. But kind of with that as the foundation of, oh, I can kind of see how this.
And is it creating some kind of openness in the body, some kind of lightness when you're looking at it like this? Yeah.
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 Well, it feels like that meditative state, like it touches on that place.
Yeah.
Seeing.
And here we are still conversing, still even working through using our imagination and logical thought assumption process here, even while we're in that state, we're able to communicate and all of that still. We're not lost any functionality. And as we come to see that there isn't really two things there, then what this really is must be the formlessness, actually. Then we begin to lose that ability to either or, you know, to flip-flop, because whether my attention is focused on this or on this, I'm really beginning to see it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Really, really. So I could go out and get into an argument with five people and have a right, you know, a shouting match, and still I'm focused on the formlessness. Or I could be sat here in deep meditation, not using any of my senses, not paying attention to them, still equally focused on the formlessness.
Yeah.
It's this root idea, isn't it, that this is something different than formlessness, and all of this, of course, everybody else as well in that.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy in my, that's the right word.
Absolutely, because it's so opposite to what we have believed our entire life. We've believed that forms have arisen out of the formlessness.
Right.
And that can be a very useful concept to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we need the labels like body and hand and, you know, your name and my name and all that, don't we, to kind of function. But eventually those labels point or are synonyms for the formlessness, the emptiness, mm-hmm. that it can show up as formlessness, or it can show up as form, the same one thing, that eventually form and formless mean the same thing inside you, energetically, kind of have the same feeling to it, experience rather, maybe a better word.
It kind of touches on that, then, that idea of expansion and abundance, and it kind of opens that door in terms of a different depth of getting that.
Yeah, okay. Explain a little more. Let's go with that.
Well, just in terms of the idea that really seeing, the hand is part of formless, like it is the formless, and it just, then I look to other things that are that way too. And then, so if the hand, I'm going to jumble here, but if the hand then exists kind of as some form of a function that I, formless, is kind of brought to itself to serve a purpose, like writing the story or something with the hand. Like I just see then that things like money, for example, would then also just be that formlessness just taking a form to, serve a purpose is the right term, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, taking a shape, and we give it a label, and it has this whole vibration then attached to it, money, doesn't it, in our thoughts? But when we see what it really actually is,
yeah,
how could it possibly be missing, or how can there be a lack of it when it's not actually what we think it is, when it's pure emptiness appearing as something? It destroys the idea of lack, this, when you get this, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
Because
my mind was just, or whatever, was just saying, the miraculous concept of this hand existing as a hand, as formless, why is my, toonie not as miraculous, in terms of a $2 coin in Canada? Yeah. Why is that not as miraculous as my hand? And in terms of it's all one.
Everything is experienced with that same kind of awe.
Yeah.
I could pick up the most mundane object, like here's my iPad, and everyone would look and go, it's an iPad. But is it? Is it, and the amazing thing that the formlessness can do appearing that way, or what it's done appearing as a human body, is quite spectacular then, isn't it? That it's created this shape, this form seemingly out of itself to try to know itself. It wants to see itself. So it creates this contrasting form to contrast against the background of emptiness.
Yeah.
And it's go ahead. It's okay.
No, I was just saying it does drop away the concepts of fear as well.
Because in terms of that. And here's the $50 million question. Can your body die then?
Yeah.
What's happening when we say the body's dying is that it's losing its shape. It's not holding its shape together so completely. Right. And it goes back to its elements, it begins to break apart into, and then gets recycled into other shapes. But there isn't really a death then in that way, is there? There's a point where the formlessness can no longer coherently express itself through that body. Just like there was a point where it couldn't, when the body was being formed, it took a while before it could coherently express itself.
And that's
what we're calling death in a way.
Well, even living with the body, right?
Yeah, even right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't have a body, and that's a really bizarre thing to realize. But then it's the absence of fear then, because when it goes, it won't make any difference for me.
Right.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of seeing again and again to really get convinced in it.
Yeah. But I even just think of the miraculous healings, or it would seem to take the same kind of, it's not existing and it's just form shifting or what have you, formlessness shifting.
Yeah, because what is it that makes this look like a hand and makes something else look like a credit card or an iPad? Or it's got to be you, hasn't it? On some level, it's got to be you if you're the only thing that exists.
Right.
Yeah. And you decide to rearrange atoms and molecules to look, which is really all we're doing, rearranging frequencies when we're manifesting something.
Right.
Into a higher expression. It takes the hard work out of that then, and the idea that there's some things that won't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes me to a whole different realization, I guess, would be like experience of that. Yeah. Yeah, I can totally, you wouldn't believe how long I've been stuck on this.
I remember myself. I remember being stuck here. It was very frustrating because intuitively, you know, there isn't two mentally, and you're still experiencing two though, you know, so it's just, and it's probably pretty much the last concept anybody challenges is the idea that this is a body. Yeah. This form and formless being two different things, that's the crux of it all, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So whether it's visible and tangible and perceptible or completely invisible, intangible, inaudible, it's the same basic thing. So I don't have this reaction when I see another person. I don't go into defense or, you know, all of that, because what's really standing in front of me is emptiness and formlessness. And it's a very different world then, in a very real way.
Yeah. Well, that feels like the integration I've been looking for in terms of that knowing that, like, it's like that. I could just almost taste it. It's like right there. And I know that it exists that way, as in my, you know, meditative state, but I couldn't, like, even surrender, or just couldn't find a way to see it. But that's like right from the beginning, that when you just said that part about, how do I feel my body without this, my clothes touching it or whatever, it was just like the truth of that statement was just so deeply profound.
Like, there's a couple of thoughts that all human beings have that are just never challenged like that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't even know we're assuming that.
Yeah.
Until someone points it out. The same for me. I didn't know I had the assumption that I was aware of my body until I thought about it like this. Somebody, I can't remember what prompted it, but and then I realized, oh my goodness, you know, if I go and touch something over there, the wooden railing that goes up the stairs, I can say, well, I'm touching this wooden thing, but that's not true. I only know what that sensation, I don't know what the wood feels like. I only know what the sensation on my fingertips and between the finger and the wood is.
Yeah.
I can't really ever know what wood feels like to touch, because every time I've touched it, it's been also with my hand, my finger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's this huge assumption that I know what wood is.
Yeah.
Or plastic or metal or skin or whatever. And it's all very different to how we've thought.
And I've played with that, like, for years as well, that kind of concept, that knowing that I can't really know what this feels like because I'm only feeling it with this, you know, limited sense of my hand or whatever. Like, I have weird paths in my brain to know that truth, but I've never kind of connected it to the formlessness and piece of it.
And it's, it becomes very fun to play with it then, because, you know, you know, talking about how to apply this. Next time you're sitting and you've seemingly lost awareness of the body, you can just challenge that. Has it really gone, or was it ever there in that way? And then you get up from your meditation seat and go out to do whatever you need to do. The sense of the body seems to come back. Well, you're just challenging that too. Is that really... has anything actually changed here?
Right.
Because if you buy that assumption, you're back into duality then, aren't you? And around and around it goes again,
Well, that'll be a good practice, you know, in terms of seeing that occurring for me and when it is happening.
Yeah. One last little bit, if you want to, we could kind of, you know, see how far this can go. And you know, either this feels exciting to explore or it doesn't, but if this isn't a body, actually, if this is formlessness, as we've been saying, and that body there is formlessness,
right,
Where are you located? Do you have a location then? Where are you in the world or even in that room? No, and I'm saying that because we tend to, this is a body, this is where I'm doing my self-inquiry from. This is the location point. All of that gets a little screwy when we realize this isn't really a body. This isn't really a location here.
Yeah, I don't have like, I don't have the location.
You can't really say over there or over here then.
No.
I'm sitting at this side of the room. Yeah, it looks like that relatively. And over there is the other side of the room. And where am I in the room? Or is the room in me? It all gets kind of, a little different then.
Yeah, it just, yeah, it just drops away in terms of that, looking for my wherever I am because I'm everywhere in it. Yeah.
Also, right here, this is you
Yeah.
talking
Yeah. Yeah.
here.
It's kind of,
But
yeah, I've jumped the pond. In fact, I am the
you
pond.
can see why the formlessness, the self has kind of done this, why it's created these shapes so it can kind of have this kind of conversation. Eventually, it comes to that end point of duality where it has this kind of conversation and realizes it's talking to itself, and everything is itself in that way.
Yeah. To say it's entertaining is kind of seems flippant, but it's kind of this
It's
like
got to be just for the fun of it, the joy of it, hasn't it, really?
yeah.
It wants to know and explore itself somehow, and it's creating all these shapes. It wants to be a piece of wood. It wants to be an iPad. It wants to be a human being. And then as a human being, it can recognize its real self in that, having this either onus faculty is useful to get to this point where you realize actually the either onus is the same.
Yeah, because it has a real energetic charge, like feeling within my like this physical body as I'm kind of going, it's like don't know, let me experience it more, or like the truth that like even though I go like this, I'm everywhere feeling strongly, it's also like this sense of like wanting to bump up against it within my physical being to experience it. Like it's not enough to just feel the spaciousness of it and not know where I am. It's like I want to also come back and bump and go, oh, this is exciting. Like I want to
And
feel that.
that is again half the reason that you've got a physical form. It is to kind of enjoy this, explore this, and really revel in this. And you could say simultaneously, nothing at all is happening. And at the same time, we're having a real breakthrough here,
Yeah,
and it's fun,
definitely.
So, and
Yeah.
both of those are equally true, aren't they? This.
Yeah. They're both existing at the same whatever time, but simultaneously. Yeah. Kind of, yeah, again, trippy. My word for the day.
Well, it fits. It's very different the way to see things than what most people see it is, which is why we don't see it like this for so long, because we think just because everyone believes a certain fact, it must be true. Everyone
Yes.
believes they have a body, and that's the viewpoint of the world. But I can enjoy this shape now while it's here, knowing it's not really what I think it is. It didn't come and it's not going to go. It was assembled together into a shape, and it will stay like that for a while, and then it will disassemble itself when the life force loses interest in that form. And nothing's really happened to me in that because it's not really a form ultimately. And it's not a
Spoiler.
negation of it either. It's not saying I'm not the body, I'm beyond the body, is it? It's a total
Oh yeah, it's
in love with it,
yeah. It's a deep. It's like what I started from with this inquiry was how can I integrate this? Like, and the answer is very different than what I thought the answer was going to be. Like, if I was to anticipate how that was, it was a way to kind of force the body into this
Try to mash
formlessness.
two things together and make a stick, which is what we do because that's all we know, and we function in duality usually, isn't it? I've got two options. How do I make them into one?
And my experience has been, it's the actual opposite of that. It's been kind of like this, instead of mashing it together, it's been like this,
real whole, extremes, real deep, deep, profound states of consciousness in meditation, and then really feeling very contracted and limited and finite.
So how can I put that into the spaciousness of my meditation, was what I thought the solution was, like how to put my form into the formlessness versus recognizing my form and formless is one and not the same.
Because that kind of trying to work with two things to make them one has helped us everywhere else in our life, and even right up to this point in our pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Because we could discern the formlessness, we could experience it compared to the form. We began to see we're not the form, and that helped us along the pathway. But then you reach this point at the end where the either or-ness is actually the issue, the duality. And it cannot, mind cannot solve this. It tries, of course, every which way it can.
And
that just seems to emphasize that there really is two, and these become more protracted, don't they? More opposite seeming. And
Not
a fun place to be, I remember.
Yeah, no, great frustration, but it's quite a, kind of an awakening in the sense of my understanding of that and seeing some real light coming into that.
This for me, when I really got this, was all the epiphanies I'd had before seemed to be completely replaced by this in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of, it was a whole different level, a whole finality to it, you know, that I don't even have to choose form or formless, you know, it was just totally a revelation in that way.
Well, it is. It really, like, very understated to say that. It's like, I'm kind of shocked.
It will be like that for a little while. I think I spent the first 2 weeks going, really? You know, so it kind of, it's just very different. It's what reality is, but it's very different to what we thought it is in a way. So it might be a little getting used to it, period. And then it'll just be more and more like, that's just how it's always been. Not any less special or amazing, but and then going
out
into the world, embracing everything you meet, knowing, and everyone you meet, knowing what they are. Not ever needing to feel divided again, that the either or-ness, which has been the real crux of the suffering, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Like I say, it's a real comfortable sensation. It doesn't feel like it'll be a challenge. Like before, I was feeling it was going to be a challenge. How do I do this and master this? And, you know, but the truth feels so different than what I thought it was going to feel like.
It's kind of effortless, isn't it? Because whether I'm looking at form or formless, mind believes in those categories and you don't anymore so much, you know, it'll get stronger as you look again. But it doesn't matter then where your attention goes. If you're deeply lost in thoughts for hours and hours, you're still looking at the formlessness. Your body gets really contracted and lost in illusion, still the formlessness. Thoughts are empty, the body's emptiness, emotions are emptiness, you know, all of that. Wonderful. Powerful way to spend this time. It's been very fun as well. I hope it has for you.
It's been wonderful. Awesome.
Is there anything that you want to say, anything that you want to leave us with, any words of wisdom or anything pertinent to you want to share?
You know, I don't really have words, Helen. I feel kind of that it would be adequate to describe the experience. Like, I guess those are words, but
I get it completely.
It's a completely different outcome than I thought. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, it's kind of like the experience and the knowing is something that I never expected. Whatever, I guess, how could I? But anyway.
Same for me. It was always different. The resolution of it was always completely, it came at me sideways. I was like, I'm sure it's going to be this. This is how it's, you know, and it's like, oh, That's it, you know, that's really what it is, you know. So
yeah, I appreciate you and your space with this experience. It's been awesome.
Thank you. I'm sure it's been fun to do, and I'm sure it's going to be so helpful for everyone else as well that watches it, because this is eventually where we all end up stuck. Eventually we all end up at this point where we have to kind of put down the duality of it, the either orness.
Yeah.
The original two labels of form and formless, or manifest and manifest. We all end up at this point eventually.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get through this, you know, and that's one of the things that really gives me joy, is to shortcut this particular bit, you know.
It
shouldn't be that difficult really, except for we try to solve it in duality with our mind, don't we?
Yeah. But it's funny that, again, just a little blurb of this path, so to speak, and knowing that truth so many different places along the path, that my mind isn't the one that's going to, you know, resolve this, you know, whether it's cause effect or, you know, like beliefs or all that kind of stuff. The answer's always been the same, but it's like funny that, you know, me as my separate being just wouldn't know that the answer is not going to be coming from my mind. Like how strong that concept holds on, even though you've got factual evidence to show you that that's never been the solution.
It's kind of this duality inherent in it, isn't it? I mean, even if we did contemplation, we could say, I either do believe this thought or I don't. Or this is a positive or a negative emotion. And everything we've done in our spirituality up until this point kind of has this either onus to it.
Yeah.
I either think I'm a separate being or the self.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always this either onus in the background, and that works beautifully right up until here.
Yeah.
Where it begins to be the issue itself then, you know. So that's quite often why it's not obvious. You know, how to go around this. How do I get around this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank goodness you're here.
Well, I'm there too.
I know. Yes, I know. Well, that's what I meant. You're here.
Have to make some non-dual joke at the end. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this time. It's been wonderful and very, very helpful. And thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Helen.